Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're going to catch up with Wisconsin author Michael Perry on the show today. Right in the background, you're hearing a little music from his band, The Long Beds, and I'm really looking forward to talking with him about his, especially about his latest book, 40 Acres Deep. But we're in our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive as well. You probably know that if you've been listening. It's the largest source of funding for WPR programs that comes from you, listeners. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So I hope you'll take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Kini Baltina, our interim director of the WPR Ideas Network, is joining in as well. How are we doing, Keely?
Hey, Larry. We are doing really well. Today, we have this goal of 110 people becoming a WPR sustainer or increasing their monthly ongoing gift. And so far, we have 54 people who have said, yes, I want to be a part of this. Yes, this is how I want to consistently support the public radio I love. So we are right on track. thank you so much to those new and returning members for those gifts. If this happens, WPR receives $25,000 in challenge funds from a group of generous current members.
It's their way of encouraging you to sustain Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Build reliable funding for WPR now with your new or increased monthly gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You are incredibly powerful. It is people who listen, you, who provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation, it's an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and, you know, also then in the programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
A big thank you to everyone who's contributed so far today. WPR's listener supported. So your gift keeps WPR the strong, reliable station you depend on. You decide the amount, for example, $10 or $20 a month. The important thing is that you take that step and support your listening at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Donate any amount, and you'll have a chance to win $1,000 toward your next trip. No contribution is necessary. You can enter by sharing your name, address, email, and phone number with WPR at 888-202-2552. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during this winter member drive. Larry Mueller here with Keely Baltina. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support, and your contribution might be $10 a month, might be $100 a month, or whatever amount you choose. It makes a difference for our entire community.
It really does. Plus, giving to WPR is easy. We all need the easy wins. This is one of them. It takes just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
We have a group of generous members who is giving $25,000, $25,000 in challenge funds. And we unlock that for WPR when 110 people step up to support the programs you count on with those ongoing monthly gifts. You, right now, you become a sustainer or increase your monthly contribution to be counted toward $25,000. Larry, did I mention it's $25,000?
I did hear that.
Good, good. I just want to be clear about that. That is an incredible opportunity. We encourage you to support WPR right now.
And how do they do that?
They do that by going to WPR.org, or you can use the phone. We have real people who will answer your call, and it is at 888-202-2552.
And a kind of a nice benefit as a sustainer, you're automatically entered in member drive drawings. And maybe this is your lucky drive. We have a drawing for a $1,000 travel agency gift card, as we've been talking about. Yeah, so you could, where could they go, Keely? The beach, the mountains,
anywhere.
Well, you can't win if you don't enter.
We could not have planned that any better, Larry. I want to squeeze in here. Jamie in Milwaukee says, I especially love Larry Mueller and Central Time. Ooh. I learn something new every single day and don't know what I'd do without WPR.
Oh, that's nice. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much. Keely, you'll come back.
I'll stick around. Mm-hmm.
Stick around. Stay with us as we talk with Michael Perry on the show today. You heard him a minute or so ago with his band, The Long Beds, and he has a new work of fiction out. It's called 40 Acres Deep. And talking with him about that book and about a new special for Wisconsin PBS. He's had a couple of other books out that I haven't talked to him about somehow. I don't know how that happened, but we'll talk about those books as well. And I'm inviting you to join in. Are you a fan of Mike's work? What does it resonate with you? And why does it resonate with you? Join us. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Michael Perry, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Larry. It's great to hear your voice again, and great to be on the show.
Yeah, you know, it's been, I think the last time you were on was around the end of 2020. How did the pandemic affect you and your work?
Well, in a way, it affected us pretty profoundly in that about, I don't know, I haven't actually done the math on this, but probably 50% of our little family business income comes from me going on the road. But on the other hand, I would never plead any difficulty because I also had flexibility and options and, you know, we're out on our little farm there. And so it affected us, but we were blessed to be in a position where we could kind of just hunker down and make do. And one of the things I did is I just got to work on publishing some books.
Yeah. Boy, yeah. Did you ever.
Yeah. Like, well, seems like I'm going to be around the office quite a bit. Maybe I ought to do some typing.
Well, your latest book, I just loved it. 40 Acres Deep. Man, it's a wonderfully written, gripping book in so many ways. There's some humor in there too, but I think you put a song, put out a song with that title, 40 Acres Deep.
Yeah, just to try to confuse everybody, released a song and a book, both with the same title. The thing that's interesting to me anyway about that is that the song and the book are definitely about the same issues, the same type of character going through the same sort of situation. That said, they are not the same. I mean, different characters, different settings. But yeah, there was no... Here's what happened. Let me just lay it right out there. I wrote that song. We made a video for the song. It's called 40 Acres Deep, and you can find it on YouTube. And we recorded it and did the video. And then I was working on this book, and when it came time to title the book, I had all these titles that had to do with snow and struggle. And every time I'd come up with a title that I loved, I'd Google it, and there'd be four other books with that title. So finally, one day, I just realized, you know, that song title that I've got really is the perfect title for this book. And if people get confused, it'll just lead to maybe more Googling, which will maybe help sell an extra book or something. So I wish I could say it was all part of some grand scheme and not just my own inability to come up with a better title. But there you go. One thing I was going to say, too, just right at the top, and I apologize for this, but it's kind of businessy. But so this book, 40 Acres Deep, I do a combination of things. I have a book under contract with HarperCollins right now. I've got one under contract with a publisher named Source Books, and I've done books with Wisconsin Historical Society Press. But then I also have some books that just work better. We have our own little publishing company. And for instance, this book, 40 Acres Deep, I sent it to my agent, who's been my agent for 20 years. She's in New York City, and she does me the favor of telling me the truth. bad or good, she always has. And I sent her this book, and she read it, and she said, well, this is some of the best writing you've done in 15 years. And then there was a little pause, and she said, and I don't think we're going to have much luck getting a publisher to publish it. And that was actually kind of what I expected to hear, and I was okay with that, because some projects I'm better off just doing through our own little publishing company. And so 40 Acres Deep, we did that. The business part of that is I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for independent booksellers. And the ones that are still around have fought to survive, and some of them even thrive. And one of the things is that this book, because we're releasing it ourselves, we're doing it through a distributor called Ingram that takes care of indie bookstores. And you didn't expect that half the show would be about the ins and outs of publishing, but here we are. Unfortunately, Ingram can be a little tough to work with sometimes, and we're sort of hung up right now. So if you go to your local indie bookstore, they will be able to get it through Ingram, but there might be a little bit of a delay. And the best thing to do is just go to sneezingcow.com. I explain all of this. If you go to the latest news, we have a pinned post, and it's got all the information you need about all the books and all the things we'll talk about today. But anyway, I apologize for that, but I wanted to, the last thing I want is someone to go to their bookstore and it looked like the bookstore doesn't have it. It's not because of them. It's because of the system, and we're getting through it. But otherwise the book's available a lot of other places. So.
Well, I hope you sell a million of this one or two.
You know, the early reaction, I was really nervous about this book, and I've been really open about that. I did a video about it, and I wrote some things, and I said this book had me a little uncomfortable because I love doing humor, and I love, you know, I'll be down to the Stoughton Opera House here in about a week, and I love telling stories, and we all laugh together. But this is a book that's pretty heavy, and it had been in my head and heart for a long time, and I didn't know how people would receive it. If they would think I was being too dark or if I was being provocative. I got to say that it's been a while since I've written a book where the early notes I'm getting are so personal. And so I had one person unhappy with me. But other than that, just getting really deeply personal connections from folks, from farmers, from literature people, from reviewers.
Yeah,
so I'm glad I pushed through with it.
I'm glad you did, too. Maybe explain the story, the basic storyline for us.
Yeah, so it grew out of me having a fight with the snow. I was a couple of winters ago, we had one of those. We've had two winters like this in my recent memory, but the most recent one, especially, the snow came in such a way, in such a manner. And anyone from around here who knows about snow knows that snow's not just snow. There's light snow, there's fluffy snow, there's sleety snow, there's fluffy snow, and we got a whole bunch of snow that winter that just came down heavy and without a lot of wind, and so it just stacked and stacked and stacked. And I began to worry, I've got two big pole barns on our farm, and I began to worry that they were going to collapse. And in the end, many farmers, many buildings just within a square mile of me went down. Farmers lost cattle, farmers lost buildings, equipment. And I just remember I was fighting to save my pole barns. And I realized one night I was sweating and I ain't gonna lie, cussing and just fed up and frustrated. And I remember standing there in the middle of the night, all of a sudden going, well, I'm a writer with soft hands and two pole barns that about half the stuff in there probably needs to go to the dump. What if I was depending on those pole barns for my entire living and existence? And from that, I just started thinking about a true, real farmer being in that situation. And then I just started trying to tell that story from the farmer's point of view. And then, of course, it extrapolated into a whole bunch of other ponderations, if you will.
It really is a fantastic. I think it's your best book, to be perfectly honest. I really, really like it. And we're going to talk some more with Michael, certainly. about the book. But Keely Maltina is back with me because we're in our winter member drive. And, you know, probably you've heard this by now more than once, your support's the foundation of the funding for our shows. In fact, it's the largest piece, and it's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great discussions. And that's why Keely's with me, to encourage you to make your gift of support to the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right, Larry. And today, when 110 people, including you, become a monthly sustainer, or if you're a sustainer and you increase your ongoing support, a group of generous members is giving $25,000 in matching funds to WPR.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in sustaining the programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Your participation now is vital. We appreciate your participation anytime, but we'd love for you to be one of these 110 monthly contributors. That's what we need to meet this challenge before the end of the day. So start or increase your monthly donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We hear great stories from WPR listeners every day, and I'm privileged to get some emails and comments, sometimes letters from folks, and often about how WPR impacts their lives. The donor comments you hear during this member drive are other good examples of that.
They really are. These stories remind us of just how much we're connected to each other as a community. And because WPR programs engage you and inspire you, they make you think, maybe they challenge your assumptions. Make a contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make WPR experiences possible for you and for the rest of your community.
Great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or from your credit card.
Many people give $8 a month or $10 a month. You choose the amount that's right for you and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, we've got a fun new thank you gift, the WPR Beanie. Made for timeless style and comfort, your new hat will keep you toasty warm while showing off your WPR pride all winter long. Ask for yours when you give $15 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. This is our winter member drive. Larry Mueller with Keely Baltina. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really has an important impact.
And that is because, you will continue to hear me say this, Larry, there's $25,000 in challenge funds on the line. When 110 people become a sustainer or increase their monthly gift today, WPR secures an extra $25,000 from a group of generous current members.
And it's their way of encouraging you to sustain Wisconsin Public Radio. And ongoing monthly gifts is really powerful. It's a great way of donating because it provides reliable funding for the programs you count on. So I hope you'll join in now. Start or increase your monthly donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you might spend $20 going out for dinner or drinks. Maybe that's something you do every week. In the greater scheme of things, you know, $20 isn't that big of an expense, especially if instead of, you know, weekly, it were just perhaps once a month.
And that's why we ask you to give $20 a month for your WPR listening. On its own, as Keely was saying, it might not feel like much, but when you give it monthly, it really adds up for the programs that keep you informed and inspired every day. So make your gift right now, $20 a month, or you choose the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Pat in New Lisbon says, I enjoy Larry Mueller's informative and often humorous information about bugs, birds, plants, and other life in Wisconsin. Pat, those are really great shows. And Larry, I know you enjoy those too.
I have a lot of fun with those shows. I have fun with every darn one of them. It's great.
I have never heard you not excited about something that is on the Larry Mueller Show. It's so awesome. So if this is something that you enjoy, if you like the humor, if you like the information, if you appreciate the deep and personal conversations that happen here, now is the time to give. You can do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And thank you. Talking today with Michael Perry about, well, about a few of his books, but the one I'm zeroing in right now is his latest work of fiction, a novella. It's titled 40 Acres Deep. I really love the book, and I hope you have a chance to take a look at it. If you have questions for Michael or maybe a comment about his writing, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you can email to ideas@WPR.org. You know, Michael, there are some humorous points in the story, but it's pretty serious stuff for the most part.
Yeah, it's a pretty heavy and also heartfelt. I want to make that clear. I mean, writing this book reminded me of why I went to back 25 years ago when I still had hair. I would go to the local coffee shop and write really bad poetry. But I just remember, you know, pouring out what I was feeling. And this book allowed me to do some of that. But humor, yeah, there's humor even in darkness. You know, the kind of folks I'm writing about, working class folks up against it, humor is often what gets you through some of this darkness, even if it is the old gallows humor. I will say, in particular, in reference to the humorous element, one thing I have felt very strongly about, Larry, is that the kerosene-powered torpedo heater has been terribly underrepresented in Western literature. And I took it upon myself to change that with this novella. And so there is there's a little bit of torpedo heater-related humor in there.
There is indeed. There are some other spots as well that I found really I had a smile on my face. And, you know, the humor of Harold?
Yeah.
He reminded me of some farmers that I know. They're at least the humorous side of them. I don't even know how to describe it. How would you describe it?
I think it's kind of matter of fact. Like, I'm much better at the edited version of me is much better than the mumbling, stumbling live version of me. But I would say it has something to do with an absolute innate, ponderous stubbornness.
Yeah.
Combined with resignation, where you're like, you go, I know I'm going to lose, but I'm not going to make it easy or quick for you.
Yeah.
And so there's some of that. And then one thing that vicariously that the character Harold gets to do is even as he's losing the battle, he gets to express himself without filter in ways that he's not been expressing himself all his life. You know, he has a couple of encounters with folks where all those things we're always thinking, he just goes ahead and says them because he's that guy that's got nothing left to lose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's definitely some of that. And there's also, you know, I just wanted to, sometimes when I come back from my little room above the garage late at night and it's the middle of winter and it's 10 below and there are the black inky blobs of deer out on the ridge, I want to write about that. I want to describe that and I want to try to convey that. And so that's, you know, there's many passages in the book like that. Where I indulge my desire to write about the texture of snow. And
yeah.
It might not be for everyone, but it's part of the environment.
Well, I read a review that described the story as haunting and atmospheric. What's your reaction to that?
I'm glad because, again, it's that old thing, like, how can you write about torpedo heaters and farmers and backhoes and bulldozers and dark frustrations, and yet try to lend it some poetry, try to lend it some sort of visual frame, and then ultimately, how can you take words and create feelings? And when I was writing this book, I listened to a lot of music, and in the back of the book, I name a few specific artists that really had an influence on it. And one of them was a friend of mine named Sean Carey, and he has a band named Scary or S. Carey, depending on how you pronounce it. But he does a lot of atmospheric music, and he's a guy that spends a lot of time outside and in the cold. And his music sometimes sounds to me like these frozen winter nights feel. Mm-hmm. I listen to him a lot. And then there's a guy named Sturgill Simpson. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Sturgill Simpson, and his music affected the writing a little bit, but more just how he handles himself, which is I first fell for his music because it sounded his first couple of albums that hit big were the first time I'd heard country music that seemed to honor the classic sound and yet come across as contemporary. So everybody figured he was the second coming of Waylon Jennings. And then he went off into some very different directions. And some people went with him and some people didn't. And some people got upset about it. And then he did an album called Sound and Fury, which was a very heavy metallic album based on an animated film. And the first time I heard it, I just remember thinking, well, that's not for me. I wasn't upset. Sturgill can do what he wants, but it just wasn't for me. And then when I was deep writing this book, a lot of it during some of the initial lockdown times, I re-listened to that album, and all of a sudden it made sense in that context that Sturgill didn't sit around worrying about what people were going to say, and he wasn't looking just to pick a fight. He just had this thing he wanted to create, and he did it. So he kind of helped me get over the hump of just going ahead and writing this book.
You are so good at creating a sense of place. Mm. And you can feel the cold. You can smell the pole barn. And you can really envision the landscape. Stray a bit here. I think many new writers give too much description, and then others are just the opposite, don't give enough. How do you find, or maybe what advice might you have to find that balance?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I don't, I'm getting an echo here.
So if I'm kind of hesitating, there we go. The advice that I would give someone is that, first of all, don't look to me for advice all the time because I don't always get it right. And people let me know. And I do sometimes overwrite. And the other second bit of advice I'd give is I had a friend named Frank, and you should get a friend like Frank if you want to be a writer, because he would tell me that I was now that I'm about to tell this story, I'm not sure if I can say the word on air. So I'll just say that I was pegging a certain meter, he would always say, if I was trying too hard. But then ultimately, I think it's about reading a lot of other writers and listening. I try to listen when I'm writing, and I try to strike a balance between some of my favorite writers are people who they write these long, rhythmic, descriptive passages, and then they'll end it with a little 4 or 5 syllable phrase. And I think the lesson there is that sometimes it's okay to go ahead and go on these flights of fancy, but then have something that rhythmically grounds it or that is very abbreviated, that sort of acts almost as its own period to the sentence.
Hmm.
That's off the top of my head. I don't know.
Well,
that's worth exactly what you paid for it, Larry, that advice.
I was thinking about advice I give my class, my students who are writing for radio or for blogs or whatever, about sentence length. And if you do wind up, I stray away from long sentences, but if you do wind up with a long one, you better follow it up with a short one. It's sort
I'm
of.
Gonna reveal something I should, I'm going to reveal something I shouldn't reveal about myself, but I wrote a newspaper column one time that ended with a very long run on sentence, but it was very intentional. It was to replicate the feel of a tour bus going down the road and your mm-hmm. momentum, and you're going in. So I very purposely slung together a ton of commas. And I got a very, it wasn't a very polite letter from someone who didn't like that I had done that. And they said something along the lines of, and you call yourself a writer, which I sometimes do. And so I should be a better person than this, but the very next column, the next week, I started it out with like a 200-word sentence.
Oh, man, Michael Perry, our guest. Helen in West Salem, let's hear from you. Thanks for calling, Helen.
I just wondered if you'd ever written a book about fathers and daughters, because several years ago you asked people to send in something that you might use, and I just wondered if that book ever got written.
That book, this is, I have a slight dread of doing interviews now because I have two books that for years I've been telling people are almost done. And that is not a lie. It's true. But I keep running into to roadblocks. But yes, the Fathers and Daughters books, I was actually just working on it last week. And I swear to all that is holy, I am doing my best to turn that in this week, because she's absolutely right. I did ask for people to send their father-daughter stories, and it's not a collection of those as such, but I just wanted perspective from other people, because sometimes as a guy who writes a little too much about himself, I didn't want it to just be about my experience. But yes, thank you for asking that, and probably because you called and asked, now I'll go home and work on that book right now. I have another book too that I get asked, the Scavengers sequel, and it's the same. They're both so close. I just have to push them over the finish line.
Helen, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You, I think you mentioned this. You shared your the book 40 Acres Deep. You shared it with farmers and members of the agricultural health movement before committing to publish it.
Yeah, I don't normally do that, but in this case, I just felt like one of the things is, if you know, I was raised on a farm and I live amongst farmers still. And the other day, I spoke to a group of about 300 or 400 farmers at a conference. But I never, it's like I said when I was worried about losing my pole barns, I never presumed to understand what that real life is like, because I don't do it. I'm a writer. And so in this case, I wanted some outside perspective. And so I sent it to a couple of farmers, and I sent it to some folks who work in ag and mental health. I sent it to an attorney who does wills, because I had a question about one of the plot lines.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I definitely, and I'm especially grateful. There's a farmer, I quote her on the book, Brittany Olson from up north. And, you know, she is from where I'm from, and she's one of the early readers. And I just, there are perspectives in this book that I didn't want to presume upon without getting a little bit of input. I can maintain my artistic integrity and independence, but I want to try and get the foundation of the thing right.
Yeah. Michael Perry, our guest today, his latest book is titled 40 Acres Deep. And it's great to have him with us today. And you'll be able to join in too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. And here we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio winter member drive. And Keely Baltina joins in. We're here today to raise the money that pays for the shows you enjoy, programs like this one. And I hope you'll support us in this endeavor. Support from people like you, is it's the largest piece of our funding, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
We have a fun challenge today. When 110 people become sustainers, or if you're already a sustainer, you can increase your monthly gift. That lets WPR secure an extra $25,000 in funds from a group of generous current members.
It's their way of encouraging you to sustain Wisconsin Public Radio. It's an ongoing monthly gift. It's really a powerful way to donate, because it gives you gives us reliable funding for the programs that you count on. So join in right now. Start or increase your monthly donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Here on the Larry Mueller Show, we make some really incredible connections between guests and callers and listeners and Larry. I mean, even in this conversation so far with Michael Perry, Larry, I've laughed, but I've had a pit in my stomach. I've just tried to understand. I mean, I've already gained so much from this conversation, and these are the kind of conversations that you create here on the Larry Mueller Show. That's the whole point, right, Larry?
It is indeed. It's what we, I mean, that's kind of what we hope for every day. We want people to feel good about help them feel better about certain things. Yeah. We try to give some advice. And then I love talking with authors, especially Wisconsin authors, or at least regional authors. And Michael Perry and I have been talking together for I don't even know how many years.
Well, your listeners remember, because they said a couple of years ago he mentioned this, and we're going to keep him honest. I love it. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you tune into for WPR, and it is listener-supported. When you give at WPR.org or you call 888-202-2552, you make conversations like this all over this program and many more across WPR possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes now and make your gift.
At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
I'm Eve Robillard. I've been a sustaining member for a long, long, long time, at least 30 years. I grew up in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, and I can remember in 1955, I was in eighth grade, and there was a program from Wisconsin School of the Air that our teacher would nicely put on, and it was called Let's Write.
The recorded Wisconsin School of the Air feature Let's Write. Here's Marie Applegate.
Good morning, boys and girls. Today is Cat Day. Well, you might say today that cats are our purpose. You'll pardon the pun, won't you?
And I got to write a few poems or something. And I still do that once in a while today.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org to get started now.
That's exactly right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Keeley Boltina. Your support during our drive makes the shows that you rely on possible. Your gift could be $10, $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Yeah, we have an opportunity here, Larry, today to get an extra $25,000 for WPR. That happens when 110 people step up as new or increasing sustaining members. More than half of our members are now sustainers. It's easy to get started. You can join this challenge today, become a new sustainer, or increase your current monthly contribution. Help WPR get $25,000 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking I can't donate enough to make a difference, I'll think again. You can give $10 a month and provide quality journalism, some thought-provoking conversations, some entertainment for yourself and the entire community.
Your gift makes a difference. Give now. Perhaps $10 a month makes sense to you. Whatever amount is right for you, every gift is important. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sadie in Cottage Grove says, I always get so much more than I pay for when I donate to WPR.
Oh, it's so true.
I love that. Thank you, Sadie, for that comment. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Michael Perry, our guest on the show today. I'm Larry Mueller, and his latest book is titled 40 Acres Deep. He's got two other books we're going to talk about, too. One's called Hunker and the other Peaceful Persistence, and we'll get to those. But I want to continue with 40 Acres Deep for a bit because there's so much in the book. But you know what? Rosie in Eau Claire has a comment, and so let's go there next. Rosie, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I'm from Eau Claire, so I'm one of the big fans of Michael Perry and read everything or anything we can, and we're proud of him being from West Central Wisconsin. I did read and I listened to this book because it's also an audiobook, so I like to hear Mike reading his own work. So I did that a couple of days ago. And I'm not from a farm, so I can't, as a 72-year-old woman, necessarily relate to all the things that farmers do and the equipment and all that. That went on in the book, so I can't appreciate that. But I did appreciate the deep grief and the desperation and the despair of the farmer, of the small farmers today losing their way of life that they love to corporate farms. And it just, the story rang true to me, although I'm still very depressed about it, but the story rings true to me in the universality of how there's so many things in our society causing so many people to be in despair, whether it's people losing their homes to climate problems, so they're climate refugees, or people who can't afford medical treatment for cancer or insulin, just the recent Ohio train derailment and how that seems to not be out in the open of how the railroad corporations are making so much money. So I like the book. It's so well written. It's beautifully written. You can see that a lot of time has been put into it. But I think, to me, the main thing it pegs is Mike has tacked down how many people in our country are in such deep despair because our economic system and political system is not working for us, and we're caught, and we don't know how to get out of it.
Ooh, Michael.
I appreciate the kind words, yeah, I think maybe the best response I can give here is that I will say the book's about a farmer, but it's also, if you're looking for a metaphor, there's one for every occasion. even, you know, some of the emails I've received have been from, I write a lot about his marriage in there. First of all, the first two interviews I did after this book came out, both reporters sat down and looked at me and said, before we do the interview, are you doing okay?
Yeah.
I actually am, yes. I have my days and I've been through my things, but no, it is a work of fiction. But it of course you draw on your own life experience, whether it's my silly pole barns or whether it's my own marriage and how I act. And I have received several emails and comments from husbands about saying, you made me kind of uncomfortable there. And so whether it's marriage, whether it's grief, whether it's farms, whether it's the state of our union, yeah, I mean, he's grappling with all those things. And I think also he is one of those people I meet all the time. One of the people who was upset with me about this book sent me a note, and the terms they used to describe what they felt about me were clearly not terms they came up with themselves. They were terms that are thrown around by people that this reader and I will never meet, but the purpose of those words is to keep this reader and I upset with each other, and that ain't how I roll. What I find more often is that there's just a whole bunch of us out there that are just really trying to sort it out and live the best life we can. And I think maybe that's what folks are reacting to, too, that even as he knows he's losing the battle, Harold is striving for some dignity. It's why he refuses help. Why didn't he have someone come in and help him? Because he's done asking for help. It just is another form of humiliation for him. I'm making this sound like a real, I think I said in one of the books, there's not a lot of zippity-doo-dah on this one, but there is definitely some humor. And it's also one thing I realized we haven't mentioned, it's a novella. So it's about 35,000 words. My understanding is that the term novella means longer than a short story, shorter than a novel. And I'd always wanted to write one of those, and this one seemed to fit that format.
Yeah, it really did. I did have had jotted down, there's a note here for me saying there's a lot of you in Harold, or there's some of you in Harold, and but not from the comments you were just making, and not those, but others.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's some things that you just have, you know, when I write about his pickup truck, when I write about his incoherent rages at inanimate objects. I'm guilty of that. I've written about that in other places. When I write about having to crawl under the pickup truck and hit the solenoid with a hammer to get it started, that's because I have done that within the past 3 weeks. So I always have mixed emotions about that with, you know, I wrote The Jesus Cow, which is also fiction. That one's a much different farmer book. That's a humorous fiction book. But the same thing, people are like, well, how much of this is you? And I used to resist that. You know, I kind of was grumpy about it and felt it's a parlor game. And indeed, it can go too far. You can say, oh, this is clearly you're having problems with X because you wrote about a character who's having problems with X. It's like, no, not at all. But it's somewhere in between. You're drawing on your own experience for accuracy and for resonance. But then you're also, this book is filled with me just watching the struggles of others and sometimes even being present for them.
Roger in Spring Green, what's on your mind?
So good to talk with you, Michael and Larry. And Michael, I first heard about you and heard from you and heard you on Michael, on Larry's show probably close to 15, 20 years ago, Sneezing Cow Time. And so I wanted to say I heard the song last fall before I heard, before the book was out, and the song and the video have in a good way been so haunting to me from the first watching and listening to it. And I've talked with a couple of friends about it, and the lines of he's out in the field and a gun for the banker and a gun for whatever, and then she puts a match to the letter and the letter to the curtain, and the way that you leave those hang, but they're so heavy, is amazing and so brilliant. And so I just last week looked for the book and saw that your audio wasn't out yet, and now I just heard that it was, so I will be getting that because I want to hear you read it also. And I wanted to invite you both to talk about more of the heavy themes, because you've mentioned it's a heavy book, and so often we write heavy, or we see heavy, heartfelt literature out there, but we're always cautious to talk about that heavy part because it's heavy to hear. Thank you.
Well, thanks. A couple of quick things come to mind, and one is I thank you for the kind words about the lyrics to that song. I worked really, really hard on those. But I also have to say I have a songwriting partner, a guy named Evan Middlesworth, and the original version of that song had about 32 verses. And when we got together to do it, he said, man, you got to quit doing that to people. And so part of the reason that some of those lines hang there is because my friend Evan pushed me to get really tough with the knife on that one. But yeah, I think, as I said, unintentionally, those the book and the song definitely, I guess they probably harmonize. And then as far as the dark stuff, I do say that I've written about dark stuff before, but I think maybe in some sense I'm overdoing it talking about the dark stuff here, because what we truly are winding up with is connection. And those dark things are in our hearts and minds, and we need to talk about them.
Michael Perry, our guest today on the show, and we'll be taking somewhere down the road here pretty soon. We'll be taking a news break, but I wanted to pull Keely Baltina in for just a minute because we are in our public radio winter member drive, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like and guests like Michael Perry to the show, and your support makes that happen because listener support's our largest source of funding. So I hope you'll give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 110 people today to become a monthly sustainers or to increase their ongoing support if you're already a monthly sustainer. And that will allow a group of generous members to give $25,000 in matching funds to WPR.
Where are we at? I think we had about 59 have already joined in. And it's and in terms of those generous members, it's their way of encouraging you to join them in sustaining the shows that inform and inspire you and the entire state.
Your participation now is vital. Be one of the 110 monthly contributors to help us meet this challenge before the end of the day. So you can start your monthly donations or increase your monthly donations at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Always enjoy talking with Michael Perry. We've talked together many times, probably 20 years. We've been either in person or via phone or our Eau Claire studios. And I always get lots of nice feedback from any time I have a conversation with Michael. It's kind of a unique thing here at Public Radio that we have shows, I think, that benefit listeners in so many ways. Here we are, listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and many more programs possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
Yeah, and whenever I like something, Larry, I don't want to keep it to myself. I like to share. I like to broadcast it. I like to yell about it loudly. So one of your options here in supporting WPR is also to keep cozy this winter with a new WPR beanie. It's an olive green hat that features the WPR logo, and it complements any style. It's that nice, like, neutral without being, like, white or black or beige. So ask for yours now. It starts with your gift of $15 a month or more, and you support shows like The Larry Mueller Show. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And, you know, Michael Perry wears, you know, we call it a beanie, but I think he'd probably call it a knit cap, a knit hat.
Stocking cap? Yeah.
Stocking
cap.
That's what it, that's what it is, as far as I'm concerned.
Language evolves, Larry.
Language evolves. Well, I have not evolved to beanie.
That's all right. We'll let it go this time.
Listen, we're going to take a quick look at the news. But while we're talking about this, I hope you just take a second right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution during our drive and help make these programs that you enjoy listening to possible. We'll take a look at the news, and then Michael Perry will be back with us. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller with Keeley Baltina. Hey, go to WPR.org right now and make your contribution.
Loud presents the Latino Art Fair on Friday, March 3rd at 5:30 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison. Celebrate the richness of Latino art and culture at this free show of painting, pottery, jewelry, and more by South Central Wisconsin artists. WPR is pleased to support the arts in our communities. Details are at wpr.org/events.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Michael Perry with us today on the show, a New York Times bestselling author. We've been talking about his book, 40 Acres Deep, and a wonderful novella. And I really hope you have a chance to look at it or listen to it. He also has a new Wisconsin PBS special coming up, and I want to talk with him about that as well in over the next few minutes. But I'm going to go back for one more question about, excuse me, about 40 Acres Deep. I read that book, and every sentence is so perfectly formed. And I thought, man, how long did it take him to write this?
A long time. I mean, I wrote it, probably worked on it for 3 years, but definitely for the better part of 1 year, I just went over it and again, and cut it up and shaved it and redid it. And yeah, I love editing. That revision is my favorite part of the process, because I really do talk kind of in fits and starts, and I don't talk that beautifully extemporaneously, but given time and an editing tool, I love to try and make things better. So thank you for saying that.
Oh, man.
I was just going to mention quickly again, too. I'm sorry
for
interrupting
ahead.
You. But again, if people just go to sneezingcow.com, and there's the first thing you'll see is the thing that says latest news. And the reason I mention that is that if your local independent bookseller has any difficulty getting a hold of this book, please have them just contact us. We can take care of it. We just got to make sure we get. I just want to make sure and acknowledge them, because I just wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them.
Yeah. So sneezingcow.com, right?
Sneezingcow.com, and then there's a blog post that says latest news, and you'll see right at the top. There's stuff there about that and the new podcast and the PBS special, too, and the new books.
Well, you say sometimes that you have difficulty speaking, but I tell you what, this I've heard you speak, and I had a chance, because you were going to be on today. I had a chance to see that special, that news WPR or PBS special, Michael Perry on the Road, and it premieres February 27th at 7 p.m. So I really enjoyed it, but you go ahead and talk what it's about.
Well, first I want to know, Larry, are you calling to make me an offer on the van?
No.
or did you watch it and see how many of the idiot lights are on? the folks at Wisconsin Public Television very kindly, they followed me around. You know, as I mentioned early on, none of this happens if I don't sit down and do the writing. And thankfully, that's my first love, and that's how I got here. And that's the primary thing. But over the years, in order to feed the kids, I learned to expand into speaking and performing. And so I've got this nice little circuit that I do around 98% of it is right in the state of Wisconsin. And I go to places like Stoughton Opera House or the Mabel Tainer in Menominee and tell stories and try to be entertaining and funny and heartfelt. And so Wisconsin Public Television followed me around to see, you know, exactly what the glamour quotient on this whole situation was, including driving around with me in my 2002 Toyota tour van, which you get to see. Thankfully, not real close up. Like there's I don't know if it's an outtake or if it made it into the show, but I actually explicitly asked them not to film the floor of the van because it's way too distressing.
I think your comment about don't film the floor is in there, but they don't show the floor.
Thank goodness. Yeah. So it's footage of me performing in those theaters, intercut with me just on the road or backstage and talking about what it's like to go around the state telling these stories. And this odd little, I always have a hard time calling it a career, but I guess that's what it is. We're not famous, but making a living and definitely on the road and definitely loading boxes of books for sale for merch and t-shirts and stuff. But then I think they just did a nice job of sharing some of the material and the humor, but then also I love just the idea that they've got footage of me loading boxes of books into the back of a rusted out Toyota, man. Let's go.
Well,
and
those
clear, I'm prepared. I'm ready for the Silver Eagle tour bus, just working on the finance.
Well, and the two venues, of course, I've been in both, and I've seen you at the Stoughton Opera House, but I've also been in the Mabel Tainer Theater. Well, what a couple of wonderful venues.
Well, they're gorgeous, and I had a fun moment recently. So I recently signed a development deal with a production company in L.A. I like to say that. I don't really know what it means, but it sure sounds like a big deal. And part of this pilot script that I pitched, it involved an opera house in rural Wisconsin. And the LA people were like, well, but no one's going to believe that. Like, why would there be an opera house in rural Wisconsin? And I was like, oh, sit down. Let me talk to you for a minute. And this gets back to my whole thing I always say about the folks I work with on the coast, who, by the way, there's plenty of tribalism and division in the world. They have changed my life for the better. They do good work and they show up every day. I'm grateful for every bit of it. That said, as I've said on your show before, probably, I do enjoy just occasionally reminding them that sometimes here in the Midwest, we think things up all by ourselves. And yeah, we have opera houses. So yeah, that's been fun. And it was, the crews that showed up, you know, this is the thing. There are just always folks behind the scenes that are working hard, and including today, you know, we've had some technical difficulties, but there are people working hard to make things go right. And they're only ever noticed when things maybe don't go perfectly. And so I just want to acknowledge, you know, today there's folks working so that I can talk to you. And in that show, the gorgeous footage they capture at those two venues, that's because a whole bunch of people showed up early and did a whole lot of work and then did a whole lot of work after the fact.
You seem like a fairly, well, I don't know if shy is the right word, but is it difficult to go on stage in front of so darn many people?
I'm extremely shy and extremely private, which is a pretty silly thing to say when you do what I do for a living, but I didn't plan it. And there's definitely there's a huge difference between like if I run into someone in the grocery store and they draw attention, I get very uncomfortable. I'll sweat and get uneasy. And Not, you know, my wife is always the one that has to, she's like, just ask. And I go, well, I'm not going to ask. But I learned a long time ago that what you see on stage is absolutely from the heart, but it's also obviously been practiced, and there's a frame around it. And I've often said, too, we could really get into this. I could talk about how there's no better place to hide than behind the microphone. Yeah. And you can also get into the whole passive-aggressive idea that you're actually in control when you're behind the microphone. it does require some civil agreement. But, I'm very shy, but I just found out a long time ago that I wound up writing about things. And the other thing, I've been very frank about this. I think I wrote about this in the Montaigne book, Montaigne and Barn Boots, that if you're a self-supporting artist and it's 3 a.m. and the bills need to get paid and you're looking at the house and you know there's two kids asleep in there and they're assuming you're going to feed them, you go, well, there's that one really horrifically personal, embarrassing thing I've never written about. Maybe someone will pay me for that story. And then the next thing you know, people are asking you really personally questions at book signings. You're like, how did you know that? And they say, well, you wrote about it. And I say, well, I shouldn't have. So, I am shy, but I've learned to get out in public and do what I do. Yeah. And I do enjoy it. When I'm on stage, I love that. That and shaking hands afterwards, to be able to look people in the eye and thank them is wonderful. And then also to interact with an audience that feels like one, especially in this day and age, man. I love the unplugged nature of just a bunch of people in the room sharing stories and laughter and sometimes tears. And I'm not there to convince you of nothing. We're just here to be human together.
Yeah. And boy, does that come across. And I want to mention again, it's Monday, February 27th at 7 p.m. And I so enjoyed watching it. I had my own little preview and I sat there in my office and watched the whole thing and really, really enjoyed it. But I got to ask you about canned ham.
Oh, dear.
I want to go back to one of the other books, Peaceful Persistence, and I just picked up the foreword, and I've read the book, but in the foreword you talk about canned ham.
Yeah, I said that. So I've had two other books came out recently. One called Hunker: Brief Essays on Human Connection, and then this book, Peaceful Persistence, which is a bunch of brief essays. They're a collection of my Roughneck Grace columns for the Wisconsin State Journal, and in the introduction to that one, I talk about how you know, we just talked about, I try to speak from the heart, and I still, you know, I try to correspond with as many people as I can. I can't anymore. I can't keep up with everybody. But that, because I write from the heart and I really do mean it, that doesn't necessarily mean I remember it. And I just, in the preface to Peaceful Persistence, I wrote about this book club showing up at Stoughton Opera House and asking me to pose for a photo. And it was really lovely and we had a great time, but there was this weird thing where they each individually presented me with a tin of canned ham, and each one that did it chuckled knowingly, like I was supposed to get this. And I had no idea what they were referring to, but it was one of those cases where you just go, oh, ha, 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 you know. So, to this day, I can't remember, except that now this is going to be really meta. Actually, after that book came out, one of them read the book and sent me an email to remind me what the reference was about, and I've already forgotten. but it's kind of like I'll be somewhere and I've written a very heartfelt piece about, I don't know, goats. And someone will say, I love that thing you wrote about the goats. And I have to just go, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm sure that I did too. But I said, I've literally at this point written millions of words. So, that's the introduction to Peaceful Persistence, the grand mystery of the canned ham. I'll have to Google my own emails when I get back home and post what that was about, because I know they contacted me.
Hunk in Hunker, you know, this is that collection. I just a parting comment on that one. I read, here's the thing. I get the Wisconsin State Journal print form. I can read it online, too, but I like to open up the newspaper, and I think I read every single one of your columns as they came out. And what was joyful to me was reading the book, which is a collection. It was almost like I hadn't read any of them, or a good many of them. I'd kind of forgotten, and so it was a joy to read them again.
Well, thanks for saying that. How do you think I felt when I was putting it together and went, hey, some of these are pretty good? I forgot about the one about the woodshed, right? So,
well,
yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's nice to have them collected up. They were so good to me. I had a good run there. Yeah.
What a pleasure for me. I read 40 Acres Deep, which I just loved. And I hope I hope you sell 2 million copies. And then Hunker and Peaceful Persistence, totally different kinds of books. Good laughs, good thought-provoking things as articles that time. You're a treasure, Michael. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, it is, and we'll look for, hopefully we'll have a chance to do this again. I really hope
so. All right.
All right, take care.
See you down the road. You bet. Bye.
Michael Perry and his... go to sneezingcow.com. You're going to get information on all of the books, including 40 Acres Deep, which I really, really, really liked a lot. And somebody who I really like a lot is Keely Baltina, too.
Aww.
Yeah. Here she comes back to talk with you and with me about raising money for the programs you enjoy during our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive, programs like the Larry Mueller Show. And I hope you'll support us. It's our largest piece of funding for the programs you value comes from you. So that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
It is, and today we have an extra challenge. We are looking for 110 people to either become WPR sustainers or increase their ongoing monthly gifts. And when that happens, WPR receives $25,000 in challenge funds, and that comes from a group of generous current members.
Yeah, it's their way of encouraging you to sustain Wisconsin Public Radio programs. You can build reliable funding for WPR now with your new or maybe your increased monthly gift. Those count too, don't they, the increases?
They do. Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you're a sustainer right now, you can increase it a little bit or a lot by going to WPR.org or at phoning 888-202-2552.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the reasons that the Larry Mueller Show is unique, probably, in the different things you listen to is that you really get to know these guests. I mean, again, we've had callers during this program reference things that have been said years ago, Larry, that you and Michael talked about years ago. You know, we also have PJ Leash and Phil Pelletieri answering endless questions about insects. And you have this incredible lineup of gardening experts for Fridays that are just nationally known. These are some incredible guests that we get to talk to and build relationships with.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about that beanie again.
You're back to the stocking cap?
I'm back to the stocking cap.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about it. That stocking cap would look pretty nice on you. Have you tried it on yet?
I have not.
I think you'd look really cute in it.
That I appreciate that. Well, I think the olive green feature with the WPR logo on the front, I mean, would anybody look bad in it, Larry? The answer is no. Of course not.
I think we should send one to Michael Perry. Well, he's a contributor, so maybe he'll get one.
Well, we'll need a picture of him in his beanie. And that is available right now. We've been talking about the beanie. You can show your support for the programs that you value. The WPR beanie comes with a gift of $15 a month or more. And if you make that an ongoing contribution, you also help WPR as we journey toward getting that extra $25,000 for the programs that you love. So we've got a lot of great incentives right now. The most important thing is that you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, people talk about high quality of life in Wisconsin. It's these great state parks. We've got a wonderful university system here. We are part of the University of Wisconsin system. Wonderful libraries, and WPR is also part of the high quality of life here in the state.
Well, yeah, because you get these lively discussions, in-depth news. WPR has great music and entertainment options. Now is the time to invest in that variety that you enjoy from WPR with your donation. So choose the amount that's right for you and give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hard to keep up these days with the world. It's constantly changing. As a listener, I know you rely on WPR for daily news and information.
Yeah, WPR members are the people who make that daily news and information possible. We create that access. So today, invest in the programs that you rely on. Your contribution of $10 or $20 a month keeps the news and conversations relevant and on the air for you and also for everybody else in your community. Your gift makes a difference. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way. Like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think that's great advice. Why not do it right now? Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. This is our winner member drive. Larry Mueller here with Keely Baltina. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for the shows you rely on, and that's why your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really does have an important impact.
And we know you value your time. We value your time, too. And that's why giving to WPR takes just a few minutes. We need your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
I did it once on the phone just to see what it was like. It's quick.
Right. The people aspect of it doesn't actually change how quick it is. Crazy.
It is really fast, and it's easy, and it really helps us. So take a couple of minutes to support the station you count on. And you can phone the 888-202-2552 number, but if you don't want to talk to anybody, you can just go to WPR.org and make your contribution.
Introverts and extroverts alike, we are looking forward to hearing from you. You know, sometimes we talk about how fast making a donation is. Sometimes it's harder and takes longer to figure out how much you want to give because we're not going to tell you. As the donor, you get to decide. So maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
Yeah, maybe what you spend for takeout or entertainment in the course of a month. Things you enjoy that make life better. And just like listening to WPR, as a matter of fact, give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Aaron in Madison says, my dial is set to WPR in the kitchen. I love this station. Aaron, thank you so much for that comment.
And thank you so much if you've already given. Nice vote for the Larry Mueller Show and all of the good shows on Wisconsin Public Radio. If you go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Keely Baltina, thanks for listening, and please stay with us. Lots in store.